turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dear congregation, whilst the Christian is running the race that is set before them, they are to be found looking unto Jesus. And we particularly note that in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It began with him, it will end with him. Therefore, in the meanwhile, let the believer run the race, looking unto him. Let me ask you, have you this day been running the race, looking unto Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What a blessing it is to be found looking unto Jesus. Have you known the blessing today? Of looking to him, and as you look to him, you look a little forward, and you consider the day when you will meet him. Now in chapter 11, the apostle, after describing the nature of faith, began with those examples of faith, those great heroes of faith, beginning with Abel. Well, going through those heroes of faith, he sets before the hearers certain ones, like Moses, who looked unto the Lord. Then there are others as well. And he seeks to set them forth that the people, the hearers, might consider what a testimony they had, and then to so run the race as they did. Well, having set forth these examples, he wrote in verse 1 here in chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You see how it follows through. He's considered those witnesses, such a cloud of them. Well, having done so, let us run the Christian race. Well, we read in verse 1, therefore, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He presses home the need to run this race with patience and perseverance, along with faith. And in doing so, they were to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as they ran. And just note that in verse 3, for consider him, you see, the apostle desires the brethren, the hearer, to so run the race, considering the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, impressing this home to them, he presents to them the sufferings of Christ. And with this in mind, just go back to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he walked the way here upon earth, despite all the sufferings he faced. He was focused, and he looked forward. He looked to the joy beyond the cross, the joy that was before him. You see, he had something in view as he was suffering here in the veil, the joy of satisfying divine justice, the joy of glorifying God, the salvation of his people, and having so many with him in heaven, which will be a great joy to him. The joy that was set before him. As he walked here upon earth, as he passed away, as he suffered, he looked to the joy that was set before him. And what an example that is. As we run the race, and at times we will suffer, to look forward and to consider the joy that we one day will know, but also consider Christ, how he was patient, as we note in Psalm 40, and therefore we are to be patient and persevere in our sufferings. Just notice verse 3 again. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We may grow tired. We may find a way hard. Consider him. And in considering him, be strengthened. Know that the Lord would strengthen you. Well, let me ask you tonight, have you looked unto Jesus in that initial way? And let me ask you, are you running the race looking? Is your eye upon Jesus this evening? Amen. Well, we consider here tonight the Christian race. There is a race to be run. And simply, I'd like to consider, first of all, the start, secondly, the race, and then thirdly, the finish. The start, the race, and the finish. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, right at the outset, we are presented with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Well, with that in mind, just come back with me to verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a race. It begins with Christ, as we consider in verse 2, and it will end with Christ, as we consider also in verse 2. Well, there is the Christian race. The apostle would consider certain games in his own day. And there is the start, there would be the race, and there would be the finish. We can think of athletics and certain races. There is the start line. Then there is the race itself. And then there is the finish. Well, let's begin tonight by considering the start. The start of the race. Now, let me say right at the outset, if we do not start, we will never see Jesus at the end of the journey. That's so plain. For what do we read in verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If there's no starting with Jesus, there will be no finishing with Jesus. What a wonderful moment it will be at the end for the believer to see the forerunner, the great King, the wonderful Saviour, and the precious friend. Have you that prospect? Have you begun the race? As we will consider it in a moment. At the beginning there is the Lord and there is faith. Isaiah 45 verse 2. Have you looked unto Jesus? What a blessing to be looking unto him. Now, one will never be on the way to heaven if they do not first look unto Jesus. Now, we have this expression, looking unto Jesus. And this speaks of the exercise of faith. Well, there first must be faith in the soul. There can be no exercise of faith. There can be no looking unto Jesus, this exercise of faith in the race, unless there is faith put within the soul. Have you faith? Is there faith within your heart? Have you looked unto him, as we read in Isaiah 45 verse 22? Well, let's consider a little further tonight, the start, and particularly verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have the author and the finisher of our faith. And we read in Revelation 1 verse 8 this, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Here's the Lord, the beginning and the ending. We think of the first letter, the Greek alphabet, and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Well, he is the beginning and the ending. I am, he says in Revelation 1, verse 8. It's true. I am. He's the beginning. He's the author. As one of those has said, all proceeds from him, and it all is completed by him. All proceeds from him. He's the author. He's the author of our faith. Well, let's just open this up a little further. As we think, he is the author. First of all, he agreed before the world was made to represent a people and meet the condition of life for them. He agreed, the people were given, and he agreed to the condition of life. He agreed to meet that condition. He's the author then of our faith. Secondly, in time he came to redeem his people, that they might have faith and one day go to heaven. He came that there might be a beginning in redemption applied. He's the author, but he came so that there will be a beginning. And oh, what he suffered in coming to this world. Just look at verse 2. This is how the apostle reasons. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now the apostle is seeking to press home how the believer is to run the race with patience and perseverance. As Christ walked here upon earth, he was patient and persevered. But in doing so, here, we're reminded of the sufferings of Christ. And all what he suffered, so that there would be a beginning. If you're a child of God tonight, look back and consider what he suffered so that there would be a beginning. He is the author. He came that there might be life. When you think of that new life, there's the beginning to that new life. I am come that they might have life. But then consider thirdly, as we think, he is the author. In effectual calling, he through his Spirit puts faith within, and one is found looking unto him. You consider in effectual calling, he is the author. Left to ourselves, we would not be found looking unto Jesus. He is the author. If you're looking unto him tonight, it's because of him, isn't it? He through his Spirit puts faith within. Where the race begins, because of him, it's plain then that one is to be found looking unto him at the beginning. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 45, verse 22, we read, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me. What an encouragement. We sang of in Psalm 27. Psalm 22, verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall turn. Oh, many more yet will turn to Christ. Many more yet will be caused to look to him. But let me ask you, have you looked? Have you looked unto him? Are you saved? There's no one else. Look to him who came into the world to save. Look to him who kept the law perfectly. Look to him who suffered the penalty for the breach of the law here upon earth. Look to him who endured the cross, as we note in verse 2, who suffered so much. Have you looked? Have you looked to Christ who was crucified on Calvary? Look. Literally to turn, to face, to look. There are so many who are walking down life's way. They may hear the gospel, but they will not turn to Christ. They look the other way. What about you? Have you turned, faced the Lord by faith? Look unto me. Have you beheld him? Have you looked to him? Have you discovered that he is altogether lovely? What a blessing. It's the exercise of faith when we behold him and we discover afresh he's altogether lovely and we say, yea, this is my beloved and this is my friend. What a blessing to look to him who is altogether lovely. But is your eye blind? You've never discovered the beauty of his person, the beauty of his excellencies, the beauty of his love, his grace and his mercy, are you blind? Oh, look, says the Lord, look unto me, not to someone else, but to me. Are you looking? Many look at other things. Many look at their own righteousness. They think, well, I've done this. All will be well for me. Some look to others. They bow down before idols of stone, believing all is well, but it's not for them. Look unto me. Look to Jesus. Have you looked? Has there been a beginning in your life? Look to him. There's no one else. Listen to Ebenezer Erskine. In a word, faith slights and overlooks everything else to be at Christ. You may be in a crowd, but your eye is focused on someone in that crowd. Someone special. There may be others around you, but have you focused on Christ? And your eye solely is on him. Have you looked? Have you looked unto Jesus? At the beginning there is this look. He's the author. Have you looked to the author? Are you now running the race? I remember running certain races at school. There was the 100 metre sprint and I was chosen to run in it. And we were crouched down in front of the start line with our hands on the ground. But then we would look up. We would look at the race before us, the track, and with our heads held up, the gun was fired, and we ran the race. Have you looked? You think the one looks up from the ground? Have you looked up from the ground of sin? The athlete will look away from their hands. Have you looked away from yourself? And are you looking solely on Jesus? Look unto me. The race begins with him. So there must be a looking in that initial way. Have you looked to King Jesus? Many at this time and over these days will hope to have a glimpse of the King. King Charles III. Have you looked to the King of Kings? Have you by faith had a little glimpse of the King of Kings? If you have, you've discovered him to be most precious. Altogether lovely. Looking unto Jesus. As we think of the start, he's the author. It begins with him. And at the start, one is found looking unto him. A certain young man came into a primitive Methodist church and was suddenly struck by the words of the preacher. The preacher addressed him personally. Young man, you look very miserable. Can you imagine being told that in the pulpit? You look miserable. Well, this young man was told, you look miserable. I wouldn't say it was the best type of preaching, but it was used. Young man, you look very miserable, and you will always be miserable. Miserable in life and miserable in death if you do not obey my text. Young man, said the old man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look. And Spurgeon looked by faith to Jesus Christ. Have you looked? If you don't look, you're going to be miserable. Yes, you might know some fleeting joys of this world, but you won't know that true, solid joy. Oh, look to Jesus. There's the beginning. It begins with Christ and it begins with faith in him. The race does not begin by being baptized. The race does not begin by seeking to do good. It begins with Christ. He's the author and the finisher. He is the one. He is the one men are to look to. What our Lord said in John 3 verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He was lifted up, and he's lifted up in the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because he's the only one. Have you believed in him? Look to him. If you're without Christ, you're under condemnation, and your only hope is him. Look unto Jesus. Well, we consider the start, but let's consider secondly, more briefly, the race. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is the Christian race. Now, as we think of this race, it is marked out in God's word, in his providence as well. There's a race. You think of a particular athletic race, it's marked out. The white paint is put on the grass, and so one can see where they're to run. Well, as we think of the Christian race, we look to the word of God, and we consider his providence. Now, as we consider the race, one can be hindered. And the apostle makes this plain here. Just note these words. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One can be hindered. Greek or Roman athletes would remove cumbersome garments so they could run the race more easily. And so today, jackets are removed and coats so that the athlete can run the race more easily. You do not run a race in a long winter's coat. Some of you may have seen the musketeers in the city of London with their boots and their great big hats and their garments. Well, you wouldn't run a race with such garments and such boots, would you? You would change. If a musketeer tried to run a race, he would be hindered, and others would overtake him. He would find it hard to run. In London on Thursday night, I wasn't expecting the crowds to be at King's Cross when we arrived in, neither the traffic jams on the way to Waterloo Station. We got a London Hackney cab, and we made our journey to Waterloo Station. And I was watching the clock because I knew the train would leave Waterloo at 8:20. If we weren't able to catch that train, we would have to wait another hour. So I was watching the clock. The journey continued and the clock continued to tick. We were approaching Waterloo and it was 8:15, but there was another traffic jam. But thankfully, the cab driver knew the streets well, and he quickly got us there, and we got out of the cab at 8:17. I took the Reverend Malcolm Watts's suitcase, so he wasn't cumbered with that, and we had to walk very quickly. One thing I wasn't able to do was run with a suitcase. We only just got on the train then. And then the doors closed and the train left the station. That's how tight it was. Well, you wouldn't run with a suitcase, would you? It would be a hindrance. Well, in the Christian race that is set before us, there are certain things that will slow us down, are cumbersome. They hinder us. What do we read here in verse 12? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we think there, first of all, of every weight, things that would hinder one running the race. Right at the start, one denies themselves, they deny their self-righteousness. But they need to keep saying no to certain things, as we will consider in a moment. Things of sin. There are certain things that slow the Christian down, and so must be laid aside. Things which make it harder to run in the race. Well, let's consider some of these. First of all, worldliness. Worldliness slows the Christian down. Now we're in the world and we must attend to certain things in the world. Now you think of these old tool ships, how they needed the water for sailing. But as the Puritan Thomas Watson puts it, the danger is when the water gets into the ship. We need certain things of the world. But the danger is when the world, those things of the world, get into our hearts. Worldliness can slow us down. What do we want to be doing? We want to be often thinking of Jesus as we go about our business. Just pausing for a few moments and thinking of him. In my first employment, I used to try and make it a point that every hour in my mind I would stop and think of Jesus, and it did me good. You try that this week. Just in your mind for a few moments, just think of Jesus as you go about your work, your business. Or to be heavenly minded, even when we handle earthly things, and be certain of this. And beware that worldliness can slow you down. Be careful. The mind can be dull by worldliness. Worldliness slows you down. I remember running certain races. I would start off, run out, but then my legs felt so heavy, and I found it hard to run. Well, worldliness is like weights on our legs that slow us down in the race. The world has a way, and I begin with myself, of drawing the attention. It can affect our quiet times, our prayer life. It can affect our communication. It slows the believer down. You think of the footsteps of Christ. We're to follow in his steps, as Peter says, oh, to be close to Christ, so following in his footsteps. But worldliness can slow us down in following in the footsteps of Christ. It slows us down in running the race. Therefore, lay it aside. It's a weight. A worldly mind will not help you in running the race. Lay it aside. Worldliness. But then secondly, excess. Too much of something can be a hindrance, not always, but it can be. Too much bodily exercise can be a hindrance to running the race. Too much time in even lawful pursuits can slow the Christian down in running the race. Lay aside the weight which doth so, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, see how the Apostle Paul, he is so humble and he's so honest. Are you humble and honest before the Lord tonight? You know there are certain things that are slowing you down. Lay them aside. The Apostle's so humble, isn't he? Just note these words, which doth so easily beset us. Let me just illustrate this. You're seeking to run the race, looking unto Jesus. You're seeking to be that good example, but you get drawn by something so quickly. Lay aside the weight. It slows you down. But let's consider what else the Apostle highlights particularly here. Let us lay aside the heavy weight and the sin, which doth so easily beset us. And the sin. What a hindrance sin is in the running of the race. We're not perfect, are we? Yes, the believer has been justified. There is now no condemnation. All our sins have been forgiven, but we weren't made perfect. And we battle with indwelling sin, and we will do until we're whole. And so we must consider that indwelling sin will be a hindrance to us at times. We shouldn't be surprised. And just note these words again. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. We seek to do that which is right, but then a wrong thought, a wrong word, a sinful thought and a sinful word. Sin is a great hindrance, isn't it? Sin at times is a hindrance to our prayer life. Sin at times is a hindrance to public worship. Sin at times is a hindrance to our fellowship with the Lord. Sin is a hindrance to our walking with Jesus. Sin is a hindrance to our sanctification. Oh, sin is a great hindrance. Oh, we need to take action. We need to be saying no. Remember Joseph? What did he say in view of Potiphar's wife? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's reasoning. And he says no, and he flees. We need to reason, don't we? We need to get to that point and say, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't think that. No, turn that thing off. Don't do that thing. It's not easy. Sin easily besets us. Oh, to be quick to say, no, no, for the glory of God. No, because I want to run more closely to Jesus. Deal with sin. Repent of it. Turn from it. Focus on what is right. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, to look more at Jesus each and every day. Will we consider the things that hinder? But then secondly, as we think of running the race, let's consider running with patience. Running with patience. What do we read at the end of verse 1? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. With patience. Now we have the great example of Christ. And you remember what we sing of in Psalm 14? Remember the Lord is the chief singer here. I waited patiently for the Lord. In his humiliation, he displayed such patience. Yes, he would say, as we see in the psalm, make haste. Why did he say that? Because such was the burden of the sins of his people. Such was the heavy hand of God's wrath. Make haste. But he was patient at the same time. I waited patiently for the Lord. What an example. When he was reviled, he reviled not. An old minister said to me the other day, Aaron, I thought of those words of Jesus. And so I was silent. When reviled, he reviled not. There's a time to speak. Equally, there's a time to refrain from speaking. What patience, what perseverance we see in Christ here upon earth. Run with patience. It's hard to wait at times, isn't it? Children, is there certain things you find hard to wait for? I expect some of those things are the same things we find hard to wait for. Perhaps tea, dinner. Not easy at times, is it? Well, in the Christian race, there are things we find hard to wait for. Patience is necessary. Now, we have this word patience. It speaks of endurance, constancy, patience, continuance. We need to patiently endure. That leads us, does it not, to verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What a display of patience. What did we learn of last week? What a display of patience. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What sufferings, Father, forgive them. What patience. Displayed in the heart of Christ. Patiently endure difficulties, trials, afflictions. It's not easy, is it? To endure at times, but oh, to patiently endure. Yes, the believer will get to the end, but oh, one must patiently endure on the way. Sometimes it can be so hard, and the trial seems so long. One must continue running with patience. We thought a few weeks ago of that fruit of long suffering. Are we not thankful the Holy Spirit comes and cultivates that grace of long suffering? And often when he cultivates the grace of long suffering, it's in a long trial. And he teaches us to suffer long and to be patient. It can be so long the trial, we must run on. Looking to Jesus with patience. Satan fires the darts. A barrage of darts comes towards us. Run the race with patience. People can utter unkind and hurtful things. Endure such things. Be patient. It can be so difficult. But what a blessing when we're helped to run the race with patience. At times the Christian under trial may desire to go home soon. But the Lord teaches them there's more work to be done. And so you must run with patience. But then thirdly, as we think of the race, looking to Jesus. That is so vital, isn't it? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Faith has been put within, is the exercise. Whilst we're running the race, keep your eye on Jesus. He's the consolation of Israel, as we considered this morning. Keep your eye on him. I begin with myself. Sometimes I take my eye off. And what do? Like Peter, I begin to sink. We've all done it, haven't we? But refocus. Focus on Jesus. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the one of great comfort. Focus on him who is the Prince of Peace. Lord, I'm looking to thee. Bring peace to my soul in this trial. Keep your eye on Jesus. Focus your eye on him. Is your eye on him now? We sing those words, I love the Lord. Psalm 116, when did you last tell Jesus that you loved him? Are you telling it to him now? Is your eye on him now? Just look to him. By faith. You're running the race tonight, aren't you? In this hour of public worship, look to Jesus. What a blessing to look to him. And to consider fresh discoveries of his love, that his arms are all around you at this present time, that his hand of mercy is underneath you, and his eyes of favour are looking at you. Just look at him as you run the race. I remember cycling to school one day many years ago. The sun was in the sky one winter's morning, and so I began to look at the ground, and then I came off my bike, because the brakes didn't work when a car came out in front of me. Oh, look up, on the winter days, keep your eye focused on Jesus. Running, looking unto Jesus, just focus on him. It's the best thing to do, isn't it? When you're in the green pastures and you're running, as it were, in those green pastures, having sat down as well, look to Jesus. When you're going through the valleys, look to Jesus. Keep looking. Looking is the exercise. You keep looking unto Jesus. As we consider looking unto Jesus, consider his example, verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You consider him. When people are being unkind to you, remember him. Just consider afresh what he suffered here upon earth. He was reviled. He was spoken against. You remember Jesus. When it's hard for you, you remember him. And you remember this. He's touched and he's thinking on you with the feeling of your infirmities. He's touched as he looks on you. You remember him. He knew what it was to suffer in a similar way to me. Consider him. He persevered. He endured the cross. Look unto Jesus. Follow his example. What are we told in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2? Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. We're to walk in love, so we need to be looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus as we take those steps in love, as we walk the Christian pathway. Look to him. Look to him for direction. Look to him for help and strength. Looking unto Jesus. Keep your eye on the author. That's good, is it not? To look to Jesus, the author, if doubts arise. It didn't begin with me, it began with him. Look to Jesus. Keep your eye on the finisher. You'll get there. He'll see you home and he'll be there to greet you. And that brings us to our conclusion tonight. very briefly, the finish. What do we read in verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now the apostles have set for the Christian race in verse 1. And then in verse 2 he speaks of the author, but then the finisher. The finisher. The race begins with Christ and it ends with Christ. He's the finisher. He accomplished redemption, so there is the application of redemption. We will get there. We will get to the finish. And then we will get to that great day and glorification. There will be the finish. The race here upon earth will one day come to conclusion when we get home to heaven. He's the finisher. Will you see Jesus at the end? Are you running the race? If you are, you will see Jesus. He's the finisher. Well, let's just conclude with this. So the believer will be sustained through all storms because Jesus is the finisher. He accomplished redemption so that you will be preserved. He will sustain you through all storms. Is there some trial that's weighing you down? You know, sometimes we get to a point, how can I go on? Well, because Jesus is the finisher, he'll carry you on. You'll get through. You'll find help in the last valley. The valley may be so dark. And you may become unconscious in that valley. The family looking on. The loved ones not speaking who love the Lord. But the Lord will be there. And he'll bring comfort to your soul that others may not see or hear. Thy word, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of the word there, full of comfort. And he will speak that word, though you may be unconscious, to bring comfort to your soul before you see him. Because he's the finisher. You will not be left at the beginning of the valley. He'll be there with you at the beginning and throughout the valley. The shepherd will see you home. He will see you over the finish line, as it were. He will receive you and give you a crown of glory because he is the finisher. What an honourable state awaits the true child of God. What happiness, because Jesus is the author and the finisher. Now as the end approaches, there's a hurdle to pass, and that is death. Once death is passed, the believer will be looking at Jesus with the eyes of their soul. Looking by faith, looking with the eyes of their soul when they get home to heaven. You may have run a race in athletics at school or some other place, and at the end there were some friends cheering you on. Maybe your mum and dad were there as well, cheering you on. And when you got to the end, they greeted you. What a blessing for the believer. The great friend will be there to greet you at the end. He'll welcome you in. Christ will be there. He welcomed you in the gospel and through grace. You were brought to him and you received him by faith. Well, at the end, he will grasp your soul in heaven at the end. And there will be such a smile on his face. He's the finisher. And at the end, he will be there to greet you in heaven. Such a smile. On Wednesday evening, the Reverend Morris Roberts in Scotland asked this minister, what will you say to Jesus when you see him? The minister didn't know what to say, but then said this, I'll tell you afterwards. I'll tell you afterwards. But then another minister pointed out those words in Revelation. Remember when John saw the Lord, he fell down as one dead. In such amazement, Jesus will speak to us first then. And when he speaks, there will be such love on his face and such a smile. You know, I remember certain ones, they were so warm. and they had such a smile. Dear Pastor Rockby, I remember him at the station in Southampton, such a smile on his face as he saw me. F.J. Harris, such a warm man. Remember his smile? My grandfather, such a smile, so warm. But oh, the smile of Jesus at the end. Oh, the face, the beatific view, a glimpse of his face. And then there will be others. We think of the cloud of witnesses, verse 12. Certain ones that gone on before who loved the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing certain ones who loved the Lord, who were loved ones to me. You can think of certain ones, maybe mothers, children, sons, daughters, other friends. You'll see them, those who love the Lord. The race is run. After a long journey from a certain place, you turn the corner and you draw up alongside your house and you see the front door. You get out of the car and you go to the door and there's someone there the other side to greet you inside. And one day you'll be brought to the entrance of heaven and there'll be someone there to greet you inside, none other than the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. The race begins with him. It ends with him. And what a greeting. We think of certain ones who will bow over these next days as King Charles III comes along the way. What a thought this is when the believer gets to heaven. The King, Acts 7, will stand. Why will he stand? To welcome his people in. The other way around. Through faith we bowed the knee. In heaven Jesus will stand. And you'll see the King standing at the end of the race. Standing for you, dear child of God. He will rise from the throne because a precious subject has finished the race and he will greet them. At the end of your life will the King of Kings rise from the throne to greet you into heaven. How do I know? Well, it is if I have begun this race. I've looked unto Jesus. Well, there's the race, the start, the running, and the finish. What a blessing to think of a wonderful time when I would have run the race and I will be home with Jesus. We turn to our final praise, Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. The tune is Ephraim. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19.
His name forever.
Oh,
O gracious God, we thank thee that the race has already begun for us. Oh, what grace, what a Saviour who had brought it about. Help us to run, particularly looking to Jesus. Help us to run in expectation with patience as well, to the time when we will see him. We are amazed that one day he will arise from the throne to greet us into heaven. Oh, we thank thee through grace we will get to the end. And Christ will see us home to his palace. Christ will see us to that point when we will be there in his presence. Help us on the way to be patient. Help us to deal with our sin and the other weights that slow us down. Help us to run closer to Jesus, more in the footsteps of Jesus. For any without Christ, as it please thee, may the race begin tonight. Lord, we pray. Hear our prayer. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.